I invite you to take out your Bible and turn with me to Ephesians chapter 5. Our scripture reading today is verses 25 through 33, and I invite you to follow along as we hear the good news. It begins, "As for husbands, love your wives like Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. He did this to make her holy by washing her in a bath of water with the word. He did this to present himself with a splendid church, one without any sort of stain or wrinkle on her clothes, but rather one that is holy and blameless. That's how husbands ought to love their wives, in the same way as they do their own bodies. Anyone who loves his wife loves himself. No one ever hates his own body, but feeds it and takes care of it, just like Christ does for the church, because we are parts of his body. This is why a man will leave his father and mother and be united with his wife, and the two of them will be one body. Marriage is a significant allegory, and I'm applying it to Christ and the church. In any case, as for you individually, each one of you should love his wife as himself, and wives should respect their husbands." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Lord, as we meditate on these scriptures this morning, help us to remember that you are our holy creator, our heavenly parent, and the giver of our life. So may we experience your life in a deep and meaningful way through hearing your words today. In Jesus' name, amen. So some days we get home from work or from school or from wherever it is, and we walk in the door and we step or trip over something. And then we kick the cat, we yell at the dog, we curse at the kid, we push away the spouse, and then we wonder, why is my family so messed up? You know, when I grew up, my family was a mess. Now, I love my parents, and I want to honor them, and I have a much better relationship with them now than I did in years past. But growing up, we were the family that put the fun in dysfunctional. My dad had two mottos. One was, work hard, play hard. And that second part had a lot more emphasis. And his other motto was, all work and no play makes Jack a dull boy. And we never wanted to be dull. On Sundays, we would get dressed up, and we would go to church, and we would look like that perfect model family. And then after Sunday, the week would roll along, we would go back into things, but by Friday, the party was on. The drinking and the drugs came out, and they were having a heck of a time. And that usually led into screaming and fighting. And I learned a lot about patching holes in drywall. And I learned it was a lot easier to cover it up with a picture. Or even better, with a mirror. Because nobody ever looked behind a mirror or wanted to touch it because they didn't want to get their fingerprints on it. And it seems I've learned a lot more about being a family the hard way by learning what not to do, by observing the wrong things to do. And one of those hard lessons I learned in life is how you fight, how you argue is often caught and not taught. And I caught on to how my parents argued and fought. It was part of the reason my first marriage fell apart and failed. But I was also blessed to have two best friends that had amazing families. They were like those sitcom families, you know, the families that are so good and perfect that a lot of people look at them and go, ah. I looked at them and I was always amazed. And, you know, their parents didn't always get along, but how they handled and resolved disputes, I was fascinated by that. And I remember growing up thinking, someday I want my family to be like that. But it wasn't until I met and married Fran that I learned to be more like that. I learned to be intentional with controlling my anger and my temper. I learned that I didn't have to act the way my parents did, that it was possible for me to be like my other mothers and fathers, the moms and dads of my two best friends, who we still love one another, and I call them mom and dad, and they call me son. It was possible for me to learn to submit and respect and love my spouse just as Christ loves me. So in our scripture today, there's something important for us to learn. That this scripture is not about household codes. It's not about a man or a woman's place in the house. Rather, it is about how we model Christ's love for one another. How we are united as a family through Christ. And here's what I mean. The author of Ephesians pins their pericope starting in verse 21 with, submit to each other out of respect for Christ. And he's laying the foundation for the church's identity as the bride of Christ. That we, that you and I, are the bride of Christ. And this identity begins with the body of believers, yet it also begins within us, within our family. That how we treat one another as a family is directly linked to how we demonstrate our love of and our commitment to Christ. And when we abide in this, it completely changes our family dynamics. It morphs our family systems, and it improves our family environment. And it begins with both husbands and wives who submit to and love each other. In detail, that means that husbands, we love our wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. Love your wife in the same way you love yourself, that you love your own body. In fact, that loving your wife is the greatest way to show love for yourself. Now, this may seem common sense for many of us because we all know the phrase, if mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy. But what I've learned is that if my wife feels loved, she shows it. When her love bank is full, there is nothing she won't do to make my day. And wives, you're not off the hook either. Love and respect your husband. You know, be real here. Husbands, we got egos, right? Sometimes we're a little insecure. Our egos are a little fragile. So offer him some respect. A husband that feels appreciated will go above and beyond to make his wife's day. Now, maybe for you and your spouse, your roles are a little bit different. You know, we can read in other passages that the man is the head of the household, and the man does this, and the woman does that. And for many families, for some families, that works, and it works great. Yet Jesus demonstrated that women could be disciples. And not just disciples, they could be apostles. In fact, in Romans 16:7, Junia was an apostle in the New Testament church. She was the leader of a church. And there were records from early churches that indicated that if the woman of the family was the more mature Christian, then she was the spiritual leader of the household. So this is not for us to get hung up on who is the leader in the house. It's about love, respect, and submission to one another. Now, what does that love look like? Paul gives us a beautiful definition in 1 Corinthians 13:4. He says, love is patient. Love is kind. It isn't jealous. It doesn't brag. It isn't arrogant. It isn't rude. It doesn't seek its own advantage. It isn't irritable. It doesn't keep a record of complaints. It isn't happy with injustice, but is happy with the truth. Love puts up with all things, trusts in all things, hopes for all things, endures all things. That love never fails. This is love. This is what the love of Jesus looks like to us and in us and through us. Yet love is also intentional. It doesn't just happen. Because infatuation fades, passion plummets, and lust becomes listless. And none of those are true love. Love is a God-given gift that we must hone. It takes work. It takes practice. It requires training. And a honed love, a practiced love, a mature love looks like this. It respects your spouse. It listens to them, cares for them, helps meet their spiritual, emotional, and physical needs. And then as parents, it gets transferred into our children by loving our children through the wisdom of Proverbs 22:6 that says, train your child in the way they should go so that when they grow old, they won't depart from it. Training isn't lecturing. It isn't saying one thing and doing another. And we've all been there. Do as I say, not as I do. But it's providing an example. It's teaching. It's showing how to do it. It's walking alongside them. We cannot expect our children to simply know. We must show. Also, as parents, Colossians 3:21 and our morning scripture, Ephesians 6:4, continues on. It says, it instructs us not to provoke or exasperate or frustrate our children, because that will discourage them. Instead, we must teach them about the Lord. Help them grow in the grace and the knowledge and the understanding of God. You know, I've seen parents mock their children for their lack of knowledge and experience, because they're children. And I've watched as adults teased and belittled children in the name of fun for themselves. And friends, that is not fun for the kids. We are better than that. And children will follow our example. They're watching. They're listening. They're learning. And how we treat them is often how they will grow up to treat others. Maybe you've had a parent that treated you that way. If so, I'm sorry. Some parents just don't know any better. They don't know how to be anything but a monster. Yet we don't have to be like them. We can break that cycle, and we can do it together. You know, God tells us to honor our mother and father because it was through them that God gave us life. Sometimes that's not always easy. Sometimes we have to go off on our own and learn what it means to be an adult from a new community. Then we can find ways to honor them and not insult them and not embarrass them for their mistakes. But finally, it makes a huge difference if you start out right. When you begin looking for a partner, someone to marry, someone to raise a family with, educate yourself. Go find some couples that have been married for over 30 years and ask them how they did it. Ask them how they got through things and what it took, because they're going to tell you it wasn't always easy. But they learned to work through the difficult moments. Finally, start with the right person. For the love of yourself, pick the right person. 2 Corinthians 6:14 teaches us not to be tied up or to be bound or be yoked with someone who's not a believer. That if you're dating someone who's not a Christian, think real long and hard before you continue to date them, much less marry them. Because if they're not a Christian, then they don't have the same priorities as you. I mean, if they don't understand Jesus, they can't understand you. If they don't understand Jesus, they don't know who and what is most important to you. And if they don't know and love what the most important thing in your life, then how can they possibly be on the same page with you when it comes to your life and marriage and raising a family? You know, sometimes we make excuses for ourselves. We tend to think, oh, well, we're in love. But the truth is that love comes from God. God is love. And if God pours out his love through his Spirit and they don't have the Spirit, then they don't even have access to the same source of love as you. What if we're already married? Well, life is going to be a challenge. You've chosen a hard thing. But what should I do? Should I leave them? Should I divorce them? And 1 Corinthians 7:12 says, no. Instead, love them. Be a witness to them. And perhaps through your faith, they will find salvation. 1 Peter 3:1 says it like this, that even if they refuse to believe in Jesus, they may be won over to Jesus without words, simply by the way you live your life. Make yourself a beautiful person to them on the inside, full of gentleness and a peaceful spirit. Love them as God has loved you. Sometimes all it takes is spending time in prayer with your partner to change the dynamic of your relationship. Sometimes all it takes is being such a good friend and showing unconditional love that you can win them back over. And sometimes it takes counseling and outside assistance, and that's okay. These are God's gifts. Talk to your pastor or a counselor. We are here to help. Sisters and brothers, there's something that happens when we love one another like Jesus loves us. When we submit ourselves to each other, serve one another, love intentionally, and invite God into our relationship, our life changes. We change. So today, be sure to thank the mother figures in your life, the ones you've learned to be good and loving from, and may we trust God to unite us as a family. And may our family experience God's promise of salvation through us as we love each other as God loves us. Amen.